It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
How would you describe the experience of worship? The biblical language for worship is rich. It not only includes the actions of bowing down and serving, but also the concept of reverence, even fear. This fear does not stand alone. It appears to be linked with an irresistible attraction to the one true God, revealed as Jesus Christ. Now, I don't presume to have the definitive answers about the experience of worship by any means. For what it's worth, here are a few insights I've been reflecting on for a while. There are a number of different word clusters translated as worship in the Bible. One such cluster or family of Greek words is the word group sebaomai or sebo. These words are usually translated as reverence or veneration, even fear. For example, Jesus quotes the Old Testament prophet Isaiah in Matthew 15, verses 7 to 9. He's referring to the Pharisees when he says, "You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship sebo. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Even the Hebrew text of Isaiah quoted by Jesus uses a word for fear, translated as worship. Jesus is contrasting lip and heart. In other words, they said the right things, but their hearts were far away from God, and their experience of worship was empty. To worship truly, we need more than right-sounding religious words. Somehow we need hearts that are drawn toward God and anointed with reverence. Here's an illustration. The musician Stephen Bell relates an experience of his father that gives us some insight into the dynamic between attraction and fear. He told a group of us about a concrete platform in the Mexican state of Chihuahua that arched over a deep canyon. There were no railings. As his father walked onto this platform, he moved cautiously. Advancing toward the edge, he found himself needing to get down on his knees as he crawled forward, then flat on his chest as he inched toward the vista of the chasm that he would see over the edge. He was full of fear or dread, and yet attracted to the edge. It is this visceral mix of wholesome fear and irresistible attraction that may give us some idea of the experience of true worship, what it is to worship in spirit and in truth. Then there's Isaiah's experience of worship that we read about in the temple, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. First, he tells us of his vision of the Lord. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple." Then he tells us of angelic beings, seraphs, and their response to the Lord. "Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. With two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. His senses overwhelmed by sight and sound, touch and smell, Isaiah then tells us of his own response. 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.'" Although Isaiah does not use the word fear, he makes this self-assessment. "Woe to me! I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips." In the presence of the Lord, he is overawed, even intimidated by God's holiness and by his own unworthiness. I propose that the combined realizations of divine holiness and his personal human unworthiness are components of wholesome fear. Despite this, his description of both the Lord and the seraphs is one of rapt attraction. It's as if he cannot draw away. Isaiah was in that place between irresistible attraction toward God and wholesome fear of God. What about you? Here are three questions you may be asking yourself. Number one, can't there be more to the experience of worship than irresistible attraction and wholesome fear? Well, for sure. For instance, you might also experience a profound sense of love, or joy, or peace. You may have a sense of excitement or deep contentment, of lightness or weightiness of spirit. My sense is that these other experiences will be anchored in and guided by irresistible attraction toward God and wholesome fear of God. Question two, are both irresistible attraction and wholesome fear necessary for the experience of worship? I'm still grappling and will continue to grapple with the experience of worship. At this point, my conclusion is that irresistible attraction toward God, combined with the wholesome fear of God, are indispensable elements for true worship. Fear without attraction indicates something unhealthy and destructive. For me, that would be the terror associated with exclusion from God, even judgment. On the other hand, alleged attraction to God without wholesome fear of God is crass presumption. Such a condition has little or no sense of divine holiness or personal unworthiness. And question three, how can I grow in my experience of worship? Although I'll propose other ways forward in later podcasts, let me suggest one exercise at this point. Read and reflect upon the experiences of worship within the holy and ancient text of the Bible. Here are a few to get you started. We've already read about Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. Perhaps you'd like to focus on that. Then there's Abraham and his experience in Genesis chapter 22, and Moses in Exodus 34. Then there's that vision that we have of the throne room of heaven in Revelation chapters 4 and 5. What are you learning that you can build into your experience of worship?
You've been listening to John B. McDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. McDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.